The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm not here to tell you to buy American Eagle jeans. And I definitely won't say that they're the most comfortable jeans I've ever worn. Or that they make your butt look amazing. Why would I need to do that? But if you said that you want to buy the jeans, I'm not going to stop you. But just so we're clear, this is not me telling you to buy American Eagle jeans.
Sydney Sweeney has very keen.
You see what I did there, right?
So that was Hollywood actress Sydney Sweeney in a recent ad for American Eagle. The ad has received widespread backlash, become a darling of Fox News in the US, and she is facing charges that the ad makes reference to eugenics because of the pun between jeans, G-E-N-E-S, and jeans that you wear, J-E-A-N-S. And, of course, it's got a lot of attention, including a mention by Donald Trump, who, when he found out that Sydney Sweeney was a registered Republican, decided that he approved very much of the American Eagle ads. Now, it's not the first ad to be engulfed in controversy, and I'm joined by Claire Hyland from Thinkhouse Media. Claire, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What do you think of the Sydney Sweeney ads?
Well, I can see why there's a lot of controversy, I guess. Firstly, just to give the business context around American Eagles. So this is a fashion brand that's looking to connect with a new generation of teenage brands. They've been around for 50 years. They're coming out now to reposition themselves. So Sydney Sweeney is a good match by way of celebrity status. She's 27. She's this hot film star. She comes from Euphoria. You know, they're ticking a lot of boxes here. But in essence, like the ads are essentially firstly over-sexualizing women. So there's a lot of controversy.
But they wouldn't be the only ads on telly that would do that. So
no, but
that's not the reason that they're
no, but what's interesting is if you look back in time in the 1980s, for example, like you had Brooke Shields coming out in denim ads at age 15. Again, really provocative over-sexualization. So we're kind of back there in that space. So again, you had people going, really, is this where we are? But then the bigger narrative, as you said there, around the eugenics is like, what are we ultimately saying to the American people, to teenage girls, that this idea of America now is centered on whiteness, it's centered on blue eyes, blonde hair and thinness. And this is part of a wider cultural discussion.
Is it possible to watch those ads and not get that message? You know, just to say that's a nice ad for a jeans brand and so what? Or does it really trigger those kind of thoughts?
Well, I think in today's cultural landscape, any marketeer would have to really consider what they're putting out there. So America is a highly polarized country right now. So if you're putting something out there that has any subcontext or anything that could be interpreted in a dangerous kind of political cultural landscape, you are intentionally putting that out there. So, you know, I think they were very clear in terms of what they knew they were doing. And ultimately, I guess, in the short term, yes, you know, all PR or bad PR is all PR is a good thing. You know, people are talking about it. But in the long term, what's going to be the implication in terms of the brand reputation?
Could they put it right by simply employing a hot black American actress to wear the jeans and say, you know, this is America too?
They might, and they might kind of, I guess, come out with a broader piece around everybody can look great in these jeans. But notably, they haven't come out and apologized and tried to defend and say, look, we didn't mean this. They've just come out and kind of say, you know, this is all about the jeans. But is it really all about the jeans? You know, and when you look back in time, there's been other brands that have made mistakes. So you go back to 2017, you had the likes of the Pepsi ad with Kendall Jenner. They came out with an ad that was highly insensitive to, you know, what was the cultural landscape at the time around the Black Lives Matter movement. But they apologized. They took the ad down. It had, you know, a short term impact in terms of sales.
And what did that ad say?
So the ad essentially was saying, you know, Kendall Jenner is on a photo shoot. She sees this protest movement going by. She stops her photo shoot. She comes out. She joins the protesters and she has a Pepsi in her hand and she hands it to policeman as if, you know, Pepsi's here to save the day. We're diverse. We're inclusive. But really, it was very tokenistic and it kind of trivialized the reality of the injustices that people were living through at the time.
Yeah. Now, another ad we should mention, the razor brand Gillette, they had an ad in 2019 which resulted in many people swearing that they would boycott the brand because of, again, the Me Too context. Let's have a listen to that one.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
So I'm not sure what the problem was with that. Obviously, exploiting the zeitgeist of the moment and kind of using for commercial purposes genuine concerns that people had.
Yeah, so I think, you know, every brand, every marketeer has to ask themselves, like, do we have a place in this conversation? And ultimately, if you do come out on one side or other of an issue of the times, you do risk alienating potentially some customer segment groups. So I think with the likes of Gillette, when you're talking about the Me Too movement, which is largely like a female empowerment movement, obviously, you know, men play a huge role in that. But I think there was a real question mark. Are you the brand that should really be getting involved in this conversation? You've no history or legacy in this space. You're not making donations to, you know, this movement. So, you know, are you really just tapping into it in a tokenistic way for commercial gain?
Yeah, so that was what that controversy was about. Fashions change, though. You know, what we would find offensive today may, back in the day, not have been offensive at all. This is an infamous tagline from Yorkie.
Oh, yeah.
Yorkie, please, mate.
You're not a bird, are you?
No.
Explain the offside rule, then.
A player cannot be in an advanced position of the opponent's last defender when the ball is played.
Open that. Stockings are tight.
Stockings.
Oh, look! A big hairy spider! You know, that wrapper really brings out the beautiful blue of your eyes.
Really?
Yorkie, the five big masculine chunks of chocolate. It's not for girls.
So what do you think of that one?
Well, I think there's a tongue-in-cheek there, you know? So if you kind of understand that, then I think it's potentially okay. But what Yorkie have successfully done over time is they've created this emotional connection with people. They've created this association that this is a big, chunky wad of chocolate. And, you know, you're going to be satisfied and feel full. And yeah, it's the manly bar. But is it completely, you know, not saying that women can't eat it? No, you know, people kind of get that. So I wouldn't be as offended now with that one.
But that kind of thing, for example, B&Q, they had to apologize. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this particular advertising scandal. They advertised a storage unit as easy to assemble, even if you're a girl.
Ooh, no. Yeah, I wouldn't be okay with that one now. No, I mean, I think that's playing into real stereotype, you know, a real trope there. And, you know, I think most of us in general would say we'd have challenges putting together any furniture.
Now, what about the Diet Coke ad where the guy is stripped to the waist and all the females in the office looking down on the billing site are oohing and aahing? If you just change the sexes there, one would be grossly offensive and the other is deemed to be acceptable. Explain.
Well, again, maybe acceptable at one point, but I guess, you know, the role of women in society, you know, has had its challenges, obviously, over time. And I think, you know, for a woman to be put in that position where, again, it's the objectification of females, the over-sexualization, I think, you know, as a society, we've tried to move away from that. So going back to that again, you know, I don't think that's what a lot of Irish women certainly would want. But I guess in the context of the Diet Coke ad, again, I mean, there could be men that could have objections to that, but I think, you know, tongue in cheek there, you know, hot guy.
No, it's just interesting in the context in The Office this morning. There was a lot of talk about Micheál Martin's hot son, as he's been described in, I think, in the Sun newspaper. Micheál Martin's hot son and his attributes, one physically. And I just thought, if the lads were to talk about his fiancée in the same way, there'd be murder in The Office. But it was okay for the females to admire the attributes of Micheál Martin's hot son.
Look, I think, look, there's hot people out there. They get talked about, but I guess we don't want to be defined only by beauty or ideal standards of what beauty is. And I think going back to the Sydney Sweeney debacle, you know, that was the real challenging thing there, that it was trying to define beauty in one very linear way and make that the aspiration for all women.
How often do advertisers set out to, quote unquote, offend, to cause a bit of outrage because it brings attention to the brand? And you, maybe American Eagle are at that particular tactic.
Yeah.
Because sales of American Eagle have gone up.
They have in the short term. But again, I think in the long term, it'll be the female consumers that will decide ultimately the fate and whether they want to be associated with that. And you might have some Republican young females that are like, yeah, I'm wearing this. Or people might rise above it in time, just say, look, I love these jeans. I want to wear them.
But I'm thinking in terms, say, the Hunky Dory's series of ads where you had these very scantily clad, buxom young women playing sport in a very unlikely fashion, shall we say. It's not to say that there aren't very buxom, beautiful women playing sports, but this was very, I mean, playing your sport in a bikini.
Well, that was 100% opportunistic. And oftentimes that can happen if you're a challenger brand. So you're not the biggest brand in the marketplace. You don't have big budgets. You need to come out. You want to be provocative. And I think the brand's DNA, a bit like Paddy Power as well, like if you have that inbuilt in your brand persona, there's a little bit of permission to come out, to be bold, to, you know, deliberately try and get attention. But in the case of that, obviously you have incredible young Irish women footballers and, you know, GAA stars who were like, this is actually diminishing kind of our status and the hard work we put into GAA when, you know, the attention coming up to the All-Ireland was on the Hunky Dory ads and these women as opposed to them as players.
Yeah, I was thinking of an ad many, many years ago, the late, great Gillian Bowler, who ran Budget Travel. She had an ad of a scantily clad young woman taken from behind, the picture was, and her rear end was writ large across this photograph. And the tagline was, don't get left behind, budget holidays. Amusing. But the objections were that men were crashing their cars looking at this thing.
Well, that's a fatal scenario for that potentially. But, you know, I think the industry certainly, you know, holds itself to higher standards these days. And in terms of responsible marketing and, you know, considering kind of all the females and the diverse group of people we have working across marketing now, you know, we have moved on. And this is why, again, the Sydney Sweeney thing is, are we back there again?
Finally, I want to play something which really requires visual content, but it's a father and young toddler son are out shopping and they're in the supermarket and the son is putting items in the trolley, which the father then removes. And then this ensues.
Zazu condoms. Fun, sexy, safe.
And the tagline on the screen reads, use condoms.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
My question really is, does humour actually get over a lot of these?
100%. Okay. And in fact, there's a lot of research out there now in terms of advertising creative effectiveness. And the more entertaining your ads are, the more emotionally connecting your advertisement is, the less boring it is. All these factors contribute to advertising effectiveness, which has an impact then on profitability and you know, wider business impacts.
Claire Hyland from Thinkhouse Media. Claire, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.